Welcome to the Chancel of Dedham Church. We're going to talk about angels. I'd like you to look round the chancel and see how many angels you can find. Yes, there's 12 in every window. There's several above the altar. How many do you think there are? You think there's over 70? Yes. There are over 70 angels here in the stained glass and in the carvings. We're surrounded by angels. Now I want to know, how do we have our spiritual eyes open so that we can see angels like Zechariah and Mary? Where do we go? Yes, that's right. We ask the Holy Spirit to show us. And where else do we find about angels? Yes, we find them in the Bible. Yes, we had one in our reading today, Gabriel. And you know the reaction of Zechariah. He was really frightened. You saw it in the film. He was in awe of this spiritual being. Imagine he saw a real angel, an angel who stands in the presence of God. I don't think we would stand that close to God. We'd want to bow down in worship, wouldn't we? But Gabriel stood in the presence of God so that he could go and do God's bidding, to obey God. And so he came to Zechariah with a message. And Zechariah was filled with awe and frightened. And then he doubted, didn't he? He doubted that angel. Well, let's see, what else do we know about angels? How many other angels are there then? If we look at our Bible, what does that tell us? I think Anthony gave us a clue, because he said that we all have a guardian angel. So how many angels can we see with our spiritual eyes here? Yes, there's 20 of us. So there's 20 angels here. And did you know that there's also an angel over every single church? That's what it says in the book of Revelation. So we've got a big angel guarding Dedham Church from evil, and a big angel guarding Ardley Church from evil. They protect us. God sends them to look after us and care for us. That's what the book of Hebrews says. And some people I know have met angels, have encountered angels when they've been in great difficulty. I know people have told me about it. I've heard testimony of it, and I've read in books about it. And one lady told me that she was in the snow in Scotland and really frightened in her car and wondering how on earth she would get home. And there was like a snowplow in front of her, making the way for her to get out. And she managed to get out, and then it disappeared. And she found out later there was no snowplow on that road. So angels are there to help us in great difficulty, and God sends them. And one thing we noticed is that quite often they just disappear. So let's have faith that angels are there. Now, the Bible also tells us that angels do have names. We know one angel is called Gabriel. We can also read in Daniel and in the book of Jude and in Revelation, there's another angel. He's a warrior angel, and he's called Michael. Michael the Archangel. And then if you read the Apocrypha, there's another angel, and his particular task is to help people who need healing. So there are many angels, myriads and myriads of them, and many angels are there to worship. That's their main job, to worship God. So let's open our spiritual eyes this Advent and Christmas to see the angels all around us. Let's think of these two people then, Zechariah and Mary. Now, Zechariah was towards the end of his life. He'd prayed a lot about having a child, but he hadn't, and his wife was barren. And then the angel comes and says, your prayer's going to be answered. And he just can't believe. Doubt crept in. And because he didn't believe the angel who'd sent from God Almighty, he was struck dumb. And so for 9 months he didn't speak. Now don't be too hard on him. He was a priest. He'd done all his work faithfully. He'd walked from the Judea to Jerusalem when it was turned to go into the temple to offer incense. And he'd walked back, I think, very hopefully, glad to get home. Because remember that when he lived, Judea was occupied by the Romans and there were soldiers about. You never quite knew what was going to happen in those days. And then when he got home and he couldn't speak, he must have realised that he'd sinned against God. And I think he repented. In fact, I can almost say I know he repented. Because what do we find? We find that when John is born and his mouth is opened, he has this wonderful prophecy about the Saviour coming to deliver the people, to keep that God will keep his promise to Israel, his promise to Abraham and to everyone, that the Saviour of the world would be born. And he also had a prophecy about his son John, that John would be a great prophet who'd go before the face of God Almighty and prepare his people for Jesus. And that song of Zechariah is sung in churches all over the world to this day. It's said this in this church every fourth Sunday. In fact, it's sung. And it's said in probably every single day somewhere in the world, because it's such a wonderful song. It's a prophecy about Jesus and about John. It's a call to belief and to repentance. So never be too hard on Zechariah. He repented and he saw God's glory. So let's just spend a little moment thinking of Mary. Now Mary was very young. She was at the beginning of her life as a married woman. She'd been betrothed at a very early age to Joseph. And I expect she had plans. They were going to get married and have children, bring up a family. And her plans was nothing, because God called her. He sent Gabriel to her and said, you're going to have a child, and that child is coming by the Holy Spirit, and he's going to be called Jesus, and he's going to be the Saviour to save people from their sin. Now, she could have said, I've got my own plans, God. But she didn't. She said, how can this happen? And it was explained to her. And then she said, let it be according to your word. And sometimes when God asks us to do something, we may find that a bit hard. But let us with Mary say, let us be according to your word. Now those two children were born. John was born into a village and everyone flocked and they were all so happy. And he spent his time looking after his parents until they died, I believe. And then he went out into the wilderness to prepare for his vocation, to tell people to repent and to prepare themselves for the coming of Jesus. And Jesus was born. Now, I am no angel, but I have a message for you today, and it's about Jesus. Because Jesus was born in a stable with his mother and father and myriads of angels, I believe. But he wants to be born in your heart. And I ask you today, have you asked Jesus into your heart? That's my message. It's the most wonderful thing to do, to ask Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive your sins and become Lord of your life. He will enter in and he will make you free to take of his new life, to live his life. He'll come alongside you and live his life in you. It's the most wonderful gift. So we thought of the angels worshipping God, helping us, bringing God's message. We thought of these two, the one who accepted the message, the one who delayed accepting the message, but then when he did, he got a vision of God's glory. So whether you've accepted God's message and asked Jesus into your life, or whether you're still delaying, now is the time. Now is the time to come to God and turn to him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for all that you've done in coming into this world. We pray that we hear the message of John the Baptist. We hear the message that the church brings at this time, and we prepare our hearts for the coming of Jesus. We ask that that doubt and fear will go, and we'll ask him into our lives. Bless you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your love. Amen.